this is Justice Radio, a weekly show on WMPG with your hosts, Mackenzie Kelly and Linda Small. And today we're talking with Peter Broom, an artist, writer, curator, and cultural organizer. Along with Peter's amazing work at Studio B, he's also curating the Puddle Duck Festival in Ulna, Maine, this July through August 3rd.
And I'm Mackenzie Kelly, a recovery coach coordinator and peer mentor for Healthy Acadia and the program director of Reentry Sisters.
So welcome, Peter.
Hi.
So before we talk about what's happening in Ulna with the Puddle Duck Festival, can you share a little bit with our audience about your background and what brings you to this community justice work through arts and humanities?
Sure. I am an artist. I am 60 years old, and I, around my 30s as a young artist, began to feel that the work I was making, which was addressing issues, wasn't getting the kind of conversations I wanted to see happening. And so that was the beginning of a switch in my mind on thinking about how to activate content in art. And it's really a long story, but in short, I had the opportunity to run an exhibitions program. And when I did that, I began to develop some chops in using art spaces to address issues. And I've been increasingly all in ever since. The efforts went into overdrive a little more than a decade ago when my daughter died of an overdose. And as a consequence, I felt a call to specifically address issues affecting those affected by substance use, which of course intersect with a lot of issues. And of course that intersects with justice issues. And so that is a short version of how I got here.
Thank you for that, Peter. You know, I wanted to say, I'm sorry about your daughter, but aside from that, like, we are all so affected by substance use, right? And it's a huge issue in our communities. So that's really the origin story behind Puddle Dock.
It's a long circuitous route to the Puddle Dock Village Festival. So I lived in Maryland until 2019. And for about 20 years, I had been doing what I tend to call social engagement artwork, curatorially, organizationally, individually as an artist, using art in all kinds of ways, community-made art, practicing artist art, my own art, partnering with everything from museums to neighborhoods to schools to nonprofit organizations, having projects that used art events and exhibitions to bring people together around those issues. So that became a methodology that I had developed over years in Baltimore. I moved to Maine really to find a place of peace and rest, I needed a change. And so my first couple of years here, I was very internal. It was during COVID. I did my own artwork, my own continued healing process. And then you might describe it as my fingers getting itchy. And I was well aware of the issues facing my friends, neighbors, community here in Maine, and knew that I had a way of engaging community that I wasn't seeing going on so much around me. Of course it happens. You know, you have Maine Inside Out and you have other organizations, you have Art Fan. There's a whole bunch of folks who are using art in a variety of social impact ways. Nevertheless, I felt there was an opportunity to help. So I founded the nonprofit I run, Studio B, with my partner, Lee Perkins, and we have the mission of using art and story to support community well-being and justice. And so our initial programming revolved around International Overdose Awareness Day. That was a natural time to find partners in the community who wanted to do events. And we developed a bit of a track record, you might say, in Lincoln County, where I live. We developed a bit of a track record at using that method to build community, build awareness, increase conversations, push back on stigma. And with that, I'll say, air under the wings of Studio B, the Puddle Dock Village Festival became a twinkle in my eye, where there would be, rather than a series of events nomadically all over the place with no permanent sort of anchoring exhibition, this was an opportunity to use two historic spaces, the Puddle Dock Village School, a 19th century schoolhouse in Ulna, tiny town in Lincoln County, and a mile down the road, the Alma Meeting House, which is a beautiful location for convenings and performances. So that was the start of it, working with the fund to support historic Alma and the town of Alma. I was able to secure these spaces for these events. So now we're having, from July 5th to August 3rd, three art exhibitions, each 8 or 9 days long, and a total of 17 events over the run of the festival. And very briefly, the first exhibition broadly addresses issues related to trauma and substance use. The second exhibition, Carceral Matters. And the third exhibition is Healing Practices. And that arc is sort of intentional because that's almost the arc of the personal story so often, where you find yourself caught up in the crosshairs of the justice system and out of a substance use. First there's trauma and substance use, then there's incarceration, then there's healing. That is the sort of loose arc in the curating of the topics. And the thing about it is these exhibitions are world-class artists. And that's important because we want to attract both people who already know they're concerned about these topics, and we want to draw the general public. We want to attract what you might call the culture vultures, those who are looking to have a artistic experience, to hear a musician, to see an art show. And once they're there, then they discover so much about these issues through that doorway.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Peter. I think the arc of the personal story mirroring the arc of the festival is a wonderful way to go. And we have so many people in our communities and within our families who are suffering as part of the carceral system, whether you're in it or whether you have a loved one who's in it. And then the really intriguing piece is the healing side, because we don't always have that opportunity, right, to heal, particularly those folks who've been marred by the system and stigmatized by the system. So I'm wondering, can you talk a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned your audience, which was great, which is everybody and anybody, right? People who are doing this work, people who have no idea what's happening in our systems, even though we're using our tax dollars to pay for these systems. So, how do you see the festival functioning as a tool for justice and healing with our communities?
It's really conversations and connecting and awareness. You know, there are two kinds of advocacy. There's policy advocacy, which happens in Augusta, and there's what you might call public advocacy. And we all know that politicians respond to voters. So, in a very direct way, what we're doing is creating awareness around issues, and more important than that, humanizing the issues. When we bring people together who have not, literally aren't aware of having met somebody who's been incarcerated, and see a powerful performance and have a conversation on the side and discover not only that they're human, but they're extraordinarily resilient for what they're surviving so often, that can change minds and that can alter perceptions and that can change community conversations that are going on and therefore change how people vote. So there is a line between what we're doing, which you might call cultural and community events, and impact. And I will also add that there is a byproduct of these events, and that is folks who are doing the work who you think ought to have met each other or known each other or connected with one another. Actually, so often at events we organize, folks meet for the first time and then start partnering on something. So to give you one example of you know, I know that the event I'm going to mention now is not a carceral related event, but July 9th, we're having a event that is centered on youth and the idea of how do we take care of our young people who are at risk. And so we have about 20 youth programs from Waterville to Midcoast to Portland that are going to be there. And already one of them has said, oh, such and such is going to be there. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to connect with them. So, and there'll be all kinds of organic connections that happen. So it's network building, it's community organizing by default almost. You know, there's a variety. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the way this methodology actually advances causes.
That's
Thank you so
beautiful.
much for that, Peter. You know, and I'm so glad that you brought up youth, right? Because that's so important, you know, that we are addressing those issues in our communities, right? So you're listening to Justice Radio with your hosts, Mackenzie Kelly and Linda Small. Today, we are talking with Peter Bruhn about how he supports community justice and well-being through arts and humanities. And, you know, I'd like to kind of bring up something that you had talked about earlier, and you had talked about resilience. Right. Because I think this whole thing we were talking about substance use disorder, going into incarceration, it takes so much resilience to come through that and then kind of end up at the healing. Right. Absolutely.
But I would like to talk about what communities you're hoping to reach. And like, who are the people that are going to be at ULNA and maybe some of the artwork that's going to be there?
Yeah. So I'm going to focus on a couple of events that relate to carceral matters. So the second exhibition is an artist named Ed Epping. He is from New Mexico, and he has been working for years on an ongoing project called the Corrections Project. So that's the exhibition that's going to be up at the Puddle Dock Village School, which becomes the jumping point to have programming on that topic. His perspective is a national one. The programming is logically local or statewide. So we're having two events. We're having one on July 20th and another one on July 24th. Both at the ULNA Meeting House, and the July 20th one, as you know, is going to involve organizations such as Reentry Sisters, Freedom in Captivity, Maine Prisoners Advocacy Coalition. And we will have actually an exhibition of artwork provided by the Maine Prisoners Advocacy Coalition, 24 works of art. And in addition to that, there's actually will be some art from currently incarcerated people at Two Bridges, where I had the opportunity to do an art workshop. So that will be on view for the first part of that event. And then we're going to have through performance, we're basically going to have story sharing about stories of reentry, stories of incarceration, stories of justice impacted people, followed by a conversation on how art, the conversation itself is going to be about how art can advance community in so many ways, how art can build affirmation amongst those who are using it, how it can be healing, how it can be a tool for awareness and advocacy. So that's the July 20th event. And the folks we hope to come are certainly justice impacted people, certainly advocates and allies who are out there doing the work, and if we're successful, folks who are looking for something to do that day in Lincoln County, who are going to come for the show and discover story. And same with July 24th, where we're actually headlining with Lady Brienne, who is the current Poet Laureate of the state of Maryland. And she's from Baltimore, lives in a community, grew up in a community with a ton of justice impacted people. And that's the fire in her belly for so much of her writing and performance. And she's an extraordinary voice. And I think that a headliner like that is going to attract folks who are just in the community.
Right. That's beautiful, Peter. And super exciting, I have to say, especially given our current political landscape, where so many folks who their work is centered on arts and humanities and healing is, you know, sort of under fire right now. With funding being pulled, I think it's even more important that we come together and celebrate, particularly when we think about how stories can change hearts and minds, which is so important because no matter whose story you're listening to, there's just a way of deeply connecting human to human, and you can always see yourself in somebody else's story, which I think is pivotal to change. And so I think what you're pulling together here is fabulous. When we're talking about these particular events in the middle section, which is carceral system, these voices are people who are traditionally silenced and invisibilized. And so can you tell us a little bit about how you might have involved them in co-creating this particular event, right? And what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know as well as I do, Linda, because I reached out to you, that my expertise is not often the issues that we address. I have developed a certain degree of fluency, you might say, in the world of substance use and substance use disorder, because I'm so personally affected by that. But so many issues we take on, we're not the experts. And so it's critical that we not only listen first, but we reach out for partners first, those who are doing the work, which is why I reached out to you, Linda. You have your finger in so many different pies, and you connected me to a bunch of folks. I started joining, there's the Maine Reentry Network, which has a weekly Tuesday Zoom call, and I join that just about every week or as frequently as I can, and have been doing so for the past year. So I could listen, learn, understand, get to know the community. In fact, the founder of that, Bruce Nauden, I mentioned the July 24th event with Lady Brion performing. This is the 1-2 punch. We open with the Lady Brion, and then we have a Bruce Nauden facilitate a community conversation on how we as a community can help better for those going through reentry. You know, that's the segue right there. So I wouldn't have known of Bruce if I hadn't been jumping on to those weekly conversations. And so we really lean on those who do the work. Norman Kaling is somebody who lives in Belfast, and he'll be sharing his story at that event on the 24th. Mackenzie, you're going to be participating at the 20th. You know, there's that phrase, nothing about you without you. And we very much practice that in our partnerships. Now, I know where our expertise lies. Our expertise lies in curating a program and organizing an event. So it's important that those we reach out to recognize where their expertise leaves off and my expertise steps up, and I need to do the same. So that's the co-creating process.
Great. Thank you so much for that. You know, and I'm actually really glad that you brought up MERN because that was a huge part of my reentry. When I first got out, I felt so alone. And Maine Prison Reentry Network, or was at the time Maine Prison Reentry Network, those Tuesday meetings were a huge thing for me, right? And we can really get the greatest resources sometimes there. But going back to the festival, what do you hope people walk away with after attending Puddle Dock, right? Not just in terms of experience, but how can we move in the world afterwards, right?
I think it depends on who walks in the door. There'll be different impacts. So if you are just as impacted, for example, my hope is their lived experience feels seen, heard, and that they themselves feel affirmed and respected and honored, not just respected, but honored. And so, you know, that's an outcome that would be meaningful for me, for those who are affected, feeling, yes, I am being seen, I am feeling heard. You know, we have community conversations at all of these events. So even though we have a program of presenters, somebody has something to share, they have a chance to share. If the summer resident looking for a different sort of experience walks in, I hope they're activated. I hope their eyes are open. I hope they understand that vacation land isn't all, you know, spruce trees and lobsters. It's actually has real entrenched challenges that could use advocates and resources for the betterment of the community they so enjoy. So it really depends on who's walking through the door.
Yeah, thank you for that, Peter. And hopefully we get a wide range of folks attending. And in particular, in the work that Mackenzie and I do, it's beautiful to have our community around us, but after a while of preaching to the choir, we would really like some new folk that bring in fresh perspective and change minds, right? And energy, and grow this particular work of creating a more just Maine for everyone who lives in this state and everyone who visits. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I wanted to add, there's another outcome which is incredibly important for this work, and that's hope. Anybody who walks through the door, I want them to walk out feeling hopeful. And what brings that notion to mind specifically, I'm thinking about, so the July 20th and July 24th event are being sponsored by the Holistic Sober Center, which is a fairly new residential program. Many of those folks have been incarcerated. They're all fresh out of detox. And it's a residency program in Whitefield, Lincoln County. And I know that they're making, I'll call it a field trip of both events. They're loading the bus with their 40 residents and coming to these events. And these are men, it's a men's center, who are coming out of such brokenness and are holding on to this hope in this new opportunity with the Holistic Sober Center. And to come to something like this and to embed themselves in community and to feel honored and seen, I want them to walk out with hope.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Peter. And it can't be understated how overstated, I should say, how valuable being seen is for people who are traditionally left out of conversations, who are stigmatized, who are feels often outcast, not only in their community, but sometimes within their own families. And so events like this create community and chosen family, which can be just as important, you know, as your family of origin. And I love the idea of the bus. And we'll throw out another bus. You have a bus of men coming. We hope to have a bus of women, women who are actually currently incarcerated here at the Women's Pre-Release Center. And what a day of celebration it would be to get all of these folks together. I mean, it's super exciting to think about that.
You know, I'm thinking about, I'm remembering, you know, Ira Glass has a radio show, This American Life. And many, many years ago, I heard him talking about the most impactful art experience he's ever had. And let me emphasize, the most impactful art experience he's ever had. And that was a performance of, I think it was, forgive me if I'm not recalling the details exactly. My recollection is it was Juveniles in Trouble. So it was a production of juveniles in a detention center for their families. Now, Ira Glass didn't know anybody. He didn't know the families. He didn't know the young people who are incarcerated. Yet he went and he walked away feeling this was the most powerful art experience he'd ever had. And so when we come together on the 20th and we're sharing, yes, it's going to be an amazing experience for those who are embedded in the community, and it's going to be extraordinary for those who are not.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sort of putting an exclamation mark on that point, because it feels like coming home, right? So when you've been isolated as long as some folks have, to walk into a community where you feel embraced and loved and accepted is phenomenal and life-changing. And not just for those who feel that maybe sometimes for the first time in a very long time or even first time in their lives, it also changes those folks around them as well to witness that and feel that energy. So this is just super exciting. And I know you have a long history in the art community and with humanities. I'm wondering if you have any advice to give someone who's, you know, trying to use creativity as a force for change, particularly for, you know, justice in our communities.
So I don't really have advice per se. What I can say is that almost all of my work starts by looking internally. And for me, looking internally means being in my studio, making art, often not knowing why or what for or what it's about. So then what happens is if you do that work of being true to your inner voice, and don't be afraid of making art. Everybody can make art. If you're true to your voice and you pursue expression and you explore the questions of what if or I wonder if, and you make things, clarity of what that's about is going to start coming to you. And once you have that clarity and that art, then you realize, I want to share this. I want people to know this. And that's when you step out of the studio and start having conversations. Mm-hmm. And find, nobody's nobody can do it alone. So produce the art that's true to you. Mm-hmm. Out of it will come the intent or purpose of that art. And then find the allies who can help you illuminate it and amplify it.
Mm, that's so beautiful. Thank you. And so in closing, after we've drummed up all this excitement, let's tell our listeners, how do they find out about the festival? Where do they go? What do? How do they look it up?
Yeah, so we have a website, and it is puddledockfestival.org. And it's very important. Don't type in www. Because that'll go blank. It has to be https://. That's the way you get to it. https://. puddledockfestival.org. Easier, you can look up Studio B. If you looked up Studio B Maine, you'll come to the landing page, and from there you can click over to the festival.
Nice, beautiful. Thank you.
It's studiobme.org. Is that URL?
Thank you for being here with us today, Peter. I really appreciate it.
It's been such a pleasure talking with both of you. I'm so excited to see you both on the 20th, and it's going to be great.
We are as well. Thank you. Listeners, we have some exciting new shows coming to Justice Radio, exploring the legislative process and how you can become involved, and how some main organizations envision justice, survivorship, and accountability. Visit the Justice Radio show page on WMPG.org for archived episodes aired on WMPG, WERU, and WMHB. A big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series.